Most people do not think of managing a forest to produce leaves, cones, mosses, and vines for a profit. But the responsible management and harvest of these non-timber forest products contribute substantially to the U.S. floral industry. These can also be collected on a small scale for personal use to decorate your home or for fun crafts that can introduce children to nature. Today, we will explore the topic of non-timber forest products, discuss how they can be managed and harvested responsibly, and give you some example craft ideas. I'm Becky Barlow, and this is Forest Her. In 2018, the U.S. florist industry was valued at $11 billion. About 60% of that was generated by brick and mortar retail shops, while the online florist industry revenue was about $4 billion during that time. Natural products such as leaves, ferns, cones, and mosses are popular in floral arrangements. Take a quick look at your local flower shop or craft store, or on websites that feature crafts and handmade items, and you will no doubt see grapevine wreaths, baskets, preserved leaves or branches, pine cones, and mosses for sale, either individually or as part of arrangements. And many of these items are found naturally in forests across the southeastern United States. Managing forests for non-timber forest products can benefit a landowner in a few ways. First, non-timber forest products are produced naturally, and they can be harvested and sold yearly or on a short-term basis to generate revenue for a landowner. Second, the active management of these products, when done responsibly, can promote overall forest health. Finally, you can use the products from your forest to make decorations for your home. And if you don't own forest land, many of these items can be picked up in rural or suburban yards for your own use. A few years ago, I met a teacher who collected freshly fallen pine needles from her yard. She then gathered the needles into small, neat bundles and sold those bundles to basketry artists. And that got me thinking, wow, there are a lot of opportunities for landowners to collect non-timber forest products like pine cones, branches, and vines from their land to use for crafts, no matter how large or small the acreage that they own.
I'm Kelly Knowles. I'm an Outreach Programs Administrator with the School of Forestry and Wildlife Sciences Extension Office. My background is in graphic design. That's what my degree from Auburn is in. I worked for an advertising firm right out of college, and then I started working for the university in 2005.
So while Kelly is not the person I mentioned earlier who sold the pine straw from her yard, she is a friend and an artist who has an eye for design, and I thought she'd be a great person to help me with ideas for craft items that can be made from non-timber forest products. This past summer, Kelly and I walked around her yard with her children, Andrew and Savannah, to look for pine cones, sticks, and other natural objects that could be turned into crafts.
Savannah, look for the pine cones or the twigs. Can you pick up some sticks? Yeah. You got a stick. That one's falling apart. Can you find me a different one? So what we're looking for today is twigs to do like a twig arrangement on the table. And then we were going to do pine cone birdseed feeders too. I thought the kids might enjoy that. And then I'm interested in using found objects to make a tablescape. That way you're not buying a bunch of stuff, that you can just find the materials in the forest to make your decoration. And then also you get to get out of the house, especially now during COVID. It's nice to get the kids out and give them something to do.
Cones from pines native to the southeastern United States, like longleaf, slash, loblolly, and shortleaf pines, are popular in floral designs, and they can sell for 50 cents to a dollar each. Cones from western pines like ponderosa, Jeffrey, pinyon, and lodgepole pines are often also used, and they may sell for about 20 cents to 40 cents each. Kelly and her kids used the loblolly pine cones we collected to make natural bird feeders.
We're making the pine cone bird feeders, and we're making them with Crisco in case somebody has a nut allergy. So we bought some bird seed, and we have some pine cones, and we have some floral wire to hang it up with in a tree, and you just kind of wrap wire around the top part of the pine cone and kind of leave it as a hook so that you can tie it onto the tree. Savannah has helped me lather the pine cones with Crisco, and then we patted on the bird seed. And Savannah said that this is her favorite craft that we've done. I'm assuming because it's a big mess and then your hands get gooey. So that's fine, of course, for a three-year-old too. On one of them, I have done a little bow at the top just to kind of make it decorative. So you could use ribbon instead of floral wire, but I kind of tied the ribbon on the top of the pine cones. It works. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. We use the Crisco and put it all around the pine cone. And you want a pine cone that's open so that you can get the Crisco down in there so that the bird seed is pushed between the pine cone. So that was pretty quick and easy. And then, of course, it was Savannah's favorite.
Branches and leaves are also commonly used in floral designs and crafts. Willow branches are common in spring arrangements. Oak leaves and twigs can be dried and preserved for use in fall floral arrangements. Leaves of trees that are commonly used in winter arrangements include magnolia, American holly, eastern red cedar, and southern pines.
Today we are doing twig bundles. The kids helped me pick up twigs and branches that I could then use to do this craft. I like to decorate in numbers of three usually, so either three different sizes of things to decorate or either three different colors and then group them together that way. So today I'm making these twig bundles, and you'll need twigs or branches, pruning shears, twine, and you can use rubber bands as well to help you hold it together while you tie the twine on, but I didn't end up using the rubber band at all, but you can do that. And what I did was I started with what would be the center of each of the groupings and then kind of made a bouquet around it in different sizes. When I finished, I stood it up and kind of cut off the bottom of each one of the bundles. I did three different sizes, small, medium, and large, to use on a tablescape. And then I tied them with twine. And I think they turned out nicely. Mine were a little heavier and a little more, I don't know, rustic looking. They were taller and the branches kind of curled out more than what I had seen that gave me the idea for this. So what I did was I got three different size mason jars and I put the twig bundles that were wrapped with the twine inside the jars. And then I felt like it was missing something, so I got some rustic orange ribbon and tied it around the top of the mason jars, and I'll share the pictures with you, but I decorated with my fall placemats, which are leaves, and I think it turned out nicely.
And finally, while on our walk, we found some muscadine and Japanese honeysuckle vines growing at the edge of Kelly's yard. Muscadine is a native species of grape that is common in unburned forests of the southeastern United States. Japanese honeysuckle is a non-native vine that is also found in many parts of the United States. While planting and or cultivating Japanese honeysuckle is never recommended, cutting vines and following up with herbicide treatment can be a way to start to treat and reduce the spread of it on your property. Kelly came up with a way to make decorative pumpkins with the vines. Vines are often used to make wreaths and baskets.
Today we are making vine pumpkins. Supplies that you need are lots and lots of vines, and you're going to need floral wire, and you're going to need wire cutters so that you could cut the wire. And we are using honeysuckle vine just simply because that's what was available. But you could use grapevines or muscadine vines or any vine that you can find. Through a lot of trial and error, what I found works best is to soak the vines for 30 minutes and then weave them into a rope that's about, I don't know, a half an inch to an inch thick. And you want to have a rope that's a pretty good length, maybe 10 feet. Hold them in your hand and make a spiral and make it really tight. Don't make them really large loops, because if you do, you're going to have big, open, whimsical pumpkin. But you can. Some people like that. You can do it that way. But I think what might work best is a tighter weave, and so you want to make your circles kind of small. And then you want to use either brown or green floral wire and tie them around the center of where you're holding the loop tight. And then when you get finished, you release it and kind of arrange them in the circle that would be the pumpkin. And when you're arranging them in the tight spiral circle, you want to leave the end poking out the top, like it's the stem of the pumpkin. And then once you've secured it with the floral wire several times around, and then just to make it secure, you could even go up the stem a little bit to make it look more like a stem if you wanted to do that. Or if you wanted to leave it more loose, you could do that as well for a more whimsical pumpkin. My first one obviously looks very whimsical, and then my second one that I do later will be tighter and more of a exact pumpkin shape. Anyway, I hope this Forest Crafts podcast was fun for y'all. It was fun for me and my family, and getting us out of the house during this quarantine season of life, I guess.
The thoughtful management of non-timber forest products can benefit landowners and their land. But there is always the potential for native forests and associated ecosystems to be exploited by illegal or over-harvesting. Never harvest non-timber forest products from public lands or lands that you do not own without permission. And consult a forester or other land management professional if you would like to actively manage for non-timber forest products on your property. There are pictures of the projects Kelly described and more information on non-timber forest products at the resources link found on the Forest Her podcast page. You can also contact one of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System, forestry, wildlife, or natural resource agents working in your county who are always happy to help. And don't forget to check the Alabama Cooperative Extension System calendar for upcoming workshops, both online and live and in person in your area. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed learning about non-timber forest products and will join us for future Forest Her podcasts. In the meantime, remember, find your voice, be bold, and do good things for your land.